You. If you all rise, please. And Councilwoman Sabrina Combs, would you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And Madam Clerk, we have the attorney online, is that correct?
We do not at this time. He had to step away for a moment, so he'll be calling in shortly.
He will be calling in, okay. All righty. The next item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda, including the approval of the minutes from October 8th, October 9th, October 16th, and two meetings on October 23rd. What is the wishes of the council?
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve the agenda, and including the approval of the minutes. Discussions, amendments, questions by the council. Councilwoman Fuller.
Combs,
I'm sorry.
No worries. Page 17, the call to order states that the meeting was on August 28th, so that just needs to be corrected to October 23rd.
Okay.
Page 17.
Page 17.
It's correct in the top right, but the call to order is incorrect. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other corrections,
yes,
amendments, anything? Yes, go ahead, Madam Clerk.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I do have a correction on the October 8th minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's page 3 and page 4. I want to note that Eugene Carl Haberman did speak twice that meeting, so we have, I will be inserting Eugene's audience participation comments under E. It was the exact same, almost word for word,
okay.
But he did speak under E, and he spoke the same testimony under K, so that will be added,
okay.
As well as a minor correction of a her to a him on council member comments for Sabrina Combs. So those two corrections will be made on October 8th as well.
Okay. Any objections to those corrections being made? Okay. Any further corrections or motions regarding the approval of the agenda or the minutes? Okay, all of those in favor of approving the agenda and the corrected minutes, please say yes.
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 Those opposed say no. The agenda has been approved. The minutes have been approved as corrected. The first item on our agenda is communications and appearances request, and Mark Swainton is here from Raven. Mark, can you come forward, please? Yep,
okay.
There you go.
Thank you. Well, first of all, let me thank Council for inviting us to giving Raven the opportunity. We talked to the airport board once before and others in the community, just to let you know who we are, what we do. We've got a little busy little operation over at the airport. But it's always good to interact with the people in our neighborhood. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and get started. So a little bit about Raven. We're actually a Raven group. We're two airlines, Raven Alaska, which is also known as Corvus, and Raven Connect, which is known as Hagland. Hagland's probably the name you most recognize. That's what flew in and out of here and still does. In January of 2015, purchased by investment banking firm that focuses exclusively on mid-cap type of companies, transportation primarily. As of August 2017, Raven is now run by an entirely new management team, of which I am part. And we're currently Alaska's largest regional carrier. The governor has talked to our company. He said that I think the state owns and operates or is responsible for about 180-ish airports, and we fly to 121 of them.
Mm-hmm.
This is our team. Everybody here is fairly new, although very experienced. Most of us have 30-plus years in the business. Just give you a route map, let you know where we fly. For the most part, we also do a lot of charter work all over the state. You may have heard we were approved to purchase Pennair, so shortly after DOT approval, we look forward to operating into the Aleutians as well as to the bulk of the state. New routes, as we mentioned, we go to King Salmon now in Dillingham out of Anchorage. This is the fleet, and as I said, there are two separate airlines. One of them is what's known as a 121, which is like a Delta, United, the others, and the other is a 135, which is your typical commuter, by far the larger for us. So a total of about just shy of 90 airplanes total around the state. Over 1,000 employees statewide. There we go. We'll talk a little bit about Palmer. This is our facility over on the other side of the field. We currently have 54 full-time, and we're on the process of increasing that by about five more management positions. We do about 88 to 90 or so maintenance events, and that's what this facility is strictly for. And you can see the type of aircraft primarily that we work on, the Cessna 208, which is kind of the backbone of our fleet. Most of those fly here from Bethel or other parts of the state, and we rotate them in and out so that we can perform the maintenance on them and then send them back out into the state where they fly for a while. And, of course, on a scheduled maintenance, they come back every month or so to be maintained. We run a little over $4 million in payroll just in Palmer, and we go through about $5 million a year in materials locally. I'm having a little trouble with the button. Thank you. As we've been here a little bit, we have a lot of people we lean on and use in the local area. And this is a list of the businesses in the area that we spend time with and spend money with that help support us here in our operations. So quite a few, as well as others that are statewide and quite frankly nationwide. With parts and support from all over the country. So we're Alaska's largest regional airline. The impact around the state, when you look at both direct and indirect jobs for both airlines, is about 8,000 people across the state. So not an insignificant economic impact. We're very committed to our communities. Part of the reason why I'm here, just to let you know who we are, and that a lot of us live right here locally. Nearly this entire workforce lives locally, and we actually have some people that live down in Anchorage and work both facilities for us and commute back and forth. A couple of safety certifications. Our 121 is now what's known as IOSA, which is operational safety audits run by the International Air Transport Association. We're one of about 34% of the carriers in the country, the 121s, that have this certification. And shortly, by the end of the first quarter, we will have achieved what's known as the ISSA certification, and we will be the only Part 135 in the nation to have achieved that certification. And it's a real commitment on our part and dedication to making sure that we run a safe and compliant airline. See some of the cities we fly to? We use that term. Barrow, we actually do quite a bit of maintenance up there. Now, there has been concerns about airport security in some cities. Dillingham we go to. You can see the neighbors. But when it comes to airport security, we solved it. We have very few people trespassing, and we've never had a repeat offender. But the bulk of our operation really are village airport operations. We serve the big towns, but over 100 of those 120-some-odd destinations are the villages. And really, we're kind of the lifeblood of moving the mail, moving the packages, and moving people back and forth in that environment. Mm-hmm. And again, thank you very much. I appreciate you inviting me and letting me tell you a little bit about us.
Good. Well, we appreciate
any
you
questions
being there.
I can answer.
We appreciate you being there.
Thank you.
And again, welcome to you and Liz, and thanks for her jumping in on the board.
Yeah.
And so you're putting you right to work. So anyway, any other comments from council?
Thank you very much. Appreciate
it. Mark. Okay, Councilman Fuller is getting ready to call in. Is he on the line now?
Councilmember Fuller is on the line due to the fact that we will have also Mike Gatti teleconferencing in.
Okay.
If we can take a very short recess so that I can get him in the conference line.
Okay, so
that would be great. Thank you.
We're going to go ahead and take 3 minutes.
Yep.
Okay,
that's all we
3 minutes. Just going to make a large, long noise so we don't want to be discussing things.
David, did you hear that?
I hear you.
Great. Can you hang up and dial 761-1305?
761, say that again.
Yeah, 761-1305.
1305,
yes.
Me.
Thank you. Bye.
Hello.
Hey, are you there, David?
I am here.
Great. Thank you, Madam Mayor. We are connected with David Fuller, and we can continue.
Okay. And then you let me know when
with Council Member Fuller.
Okay. I'm sorry. I will go ahead and call the meeting back to order, and where our next item is reports. And Mr. City Manager, you have a report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So your packet is the staff update, or it's our data packet. First up is the police department. Overall, calls were down in October compared to September. Relatively quiet month. I don't really have anything analysis on why, other than the state fair was done. It's kind of a lull period. But when we look at the call breakdown, there was some shifting. Our traffic was down a few percentage points. Checks were about the same. What did go up was our citizens assistance and the other. And citizen assistance goes up and down based on requests for patrols and things like that. So that's not really a concern of mine that that's higher. It's actually a good thing. The one that's higher than normal is our other. As you look at the actual breakdown of calls, you see suspicious circumstance, theft, and trespass have moved up in September. I don't see it as a trend at this point, but those numbers were up a little bit in October compared to September. So that's why you see the other being higher than normal. Something we'll watch as we move through the winter. Fire department, across the board, calls down, much similar to the police department. Everything was down. Again, don't know particularly why. Maybe the weather, people getting ready for the holidays, just kind of the lulls. But again, fire calls down, fire rescue hazards, all of them down across the board. Not to say that they aren't busy, but that's always a good thing to see those types of calls down. We look at the library. Basically, all the numbers were up. Last month, we had some numbers were down. The ones that I really usually focus on are programs. Last month, our programs were down, but September compared to August, the numbers were down. October compared to September, the numbers have gone back up. So our libraries always being used, but the programs are well attended. Compliance letters, one less sent out for unsightly premise, and then again one less cleanup follow up. Folks are basically the two and two. We send a letter, and they're doing it, and we say thank you. So,
oh, good.
That's what those numbers mean when you talk about unsightly premise, and then the follow up is the acknowledgement that they've taken action.
Good, great, good.
Building department report. Some discussions with the community development director on what these numbers mean. He tries to tell me that we're higher than ever because we should take out government stuff because government doesn't count, and I disagree. I think any investment, whether it's public or not, should count. So that's my plug on a community development. But when you look at the numbers, significant investment continues in Palmer with the total valuation of our building permits at almost $1.9 million, 17 building permits. Then we look at the types of permits of the construction ones, building permits. 11 of the 17 were commercial, either alterations or new buildings. And some of the new buildings that are coming in are relocates from the Glen Highway. Green Street's put one out on Industrial Park. Another one's gone out in the Business Park. And then there's another building being relocated from Wasilla on the old Glen that the coffee shop is actually going to be a permanent facility when it moves. Overall valuation, we've steadily increased how we compare the last 10 years, and this month we hit number four. If we continue, we won't ever hit number one because of the Fred Meyers in 2016. That was a $22 million inject in valuation. But two or three are definitely numbers that we could potentially reach by the end of the year. Other items that aren't on the in the notes, I got confirmation today from DCCED, the State Commission on Economic Development and other things, but they manage their state grants, and they confirmed my interpretation that our aerial fire apparatus truck and equipment is eligible to purchase our self-contained breathing apparatus that we talked about several weeks ago. So that grant, their concern in the past on why they really haven't given us the green light on that was because they want to make sure that we got the truck fully equipped and all the bugs were worked out. Now that we have it, we're operating it, that they said our interpretation is clear that we can do that, and we will continue with that purchase.
That's good news.
Also, as part of that conversation was they've offered to extend our other grants that expire in June of 19. Those include the public safety building, which is ongoing now. We have $59,000 currently remaining. That is going to get spent here shortly, and we already set aside money of our own from the general fund to finish that upgrade. I request an extension beyond June because of I don't want to get to the point in May where we're having to jump through hoops to get to close out the grant. That may raise audit flags later. So it gives us some breathing space to close that grant out. Our public works building, there's $23,000 remaining. We've got some garage doors. We're trying to get in insulated garage doors to go with the insulated building. They just aren't here yet. And again, with 6 months remaining on that grant, I don't want to get ourselves in a position where if the doors don't get here, or if there's something wrong, we don't have to worry about closing that grant out. And then the final one is the grant we received for Bogard for that waterline extension. There still remains $100,000 in that. We had a project. It went over, the estimate was over $100,000, so we're reevaluating what we can do with that $100,000 and still apply it to Bogard. So that's just a work in progress. We don't have a clear definition on what we'll do with that $100,000. But again, they've offered to let us extend that another year, so that's good news. Had a lot of questions on why the lights weren't turned on before the fireworks, because they saw our folks putting lights up and they weren't going on. That was at my direction. I wanted all the lights to come on all at once. I timed it with the Christmas tree, so you didn't see the lights come on the week before the fireworks. They came on after the fireworks. And as long as I'm city manager, unless y'all give me some other guidance, that's going to be my plan moving forward, that we don't piecemeal Christmas lights. And then with Colony Christmas coming up and the snow that we had several weeks ago, potential snow this week, the ice thaw and all the water buildup, we're continuing to work on our sidewalks and the big chunks of ice that, you know, one day they're gone and the next day we get a melt and it freezes in some of our, basically around our curves. We're going to try and get some of those knocked out before Colony Christmas so that we have even a more accessible city. But those things come and go at the whim of the weather.
Yeah.
We can take one out today. And if it thaws and the water comes down the hill and freezes at night, we've got the same buildup. So it's a work in progress, but we still have a more cleared, walkable winter towns than a lot of other places. So it's something we're working on, but we're not perfect, and I don't think we ever will be the way the weather's going.
Questions regarding the city manager's report or any other item you want to ask the city manager about? Okay, thank you, sir. City Clerk's report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. In the written report here in the packet, we have our monthly attendance spreadsheets. I do want to highlight that we do have all of the 2019 AML conference dates. And so the legislative meeting in February, the summer meeting in August, and the annual conference in November. That's here in the written report. And of course, I will be communicating with the council more starting soon about the February conference and getting that stuff booked up. I want a breather, though. upcoming event, the only one that the clerk's office is tracking at this point that would be done but before the December 11th is the Hanukkah celebration. I did just email you today the Matsu open house, so just let me know if you guys plan on attending those or not attending those, especially the Matsu Health Foundation open house, because that does require an RSVP by the 7th of December. So, of course, the clerk's office will take care of that, which means Angie. And a couple of other things. I attended the AAMC conference and the AML conference and had great sessions. A few of the highlights, and these are just the highlights of the many, many sessions that AAMC offered. We had elections, and this one was fun. Managing stress while embracing change. Boy, did I want that one. Facilitating peak performance. So we have, I have some good tools to work with Angie on. Generations in the workplace. That one was a fascinating session to go through and really picked up some great tools in my tool belt. And then ethics. And then some of the things for the AML conference was the municipal innovation, contracting professional services, and something I have a lot of fun with each year is assisting the AML with their AML board elections. So thank you very much for, you know, supporting me, continuing my education, and letting me attend those. I mean, it was great sessions and learned a lot. So I have been attending the boards and commission meetings in the month of November, performing the oath of offices, and also setting up our joint board and council meetings. So in the next month report, so December 11th, you will have the 2019 schedule, and all of that will include our joint meetings. So that's been going on. I still have Airport Advisory Commission that I will be attending this Thursday to talk about our joint meeting, and we have election of chair and vice chair and things like that. So you also will be seeing the new boards and commission membership lists at the next regular meeting that will be included in your packet. So still lots and lots of stuff going on behind the scenes, even after elections and appointments of boards and commissions. It's busy, busy. And then that's everything.
Anybody have any questions of the city clerk? Okay. And I don't know what she said, but in the packet, of course, is the attendance rosters for the boards and commissions. And I think you all did get, and it will be on the December 11th meeting, where we will accept the resignation of one of the members of the Parks and Rec Board, and then we'll be advertising for that position. And if you remember correctly, when we had the ads running in for the October appointments, both of those positions needed someone that had to live inside the city of Palmer, and we only had two applicants. And this position does not have that requirement, so I think it's worthwhile to go ahead and advertise since we don't have any pending applications. So that will be on our agenda for December 11th meeting. Okay, any other questions or comments to the clerk? Okay. Alrighty, and you have my written report. We have, of course, as the city manager mentioned, Colony Christmas coming up. I will be on the radio on December 21st, giving the mayor's update. Let's see, the chamber meeting we're going to be at is, what, the 12th. Nate and I will be at the chamber meeting giving a yearly update for the city of Palmer on the 12th. And the mayor's manager's meeting, I don't know for sure if we're going to have that on the 13th. We're sort of going to wait and see, I guess. And we've canceled the agenda setting meeting for November 29th. And then also we tentatively had a meeting scheduled for special meeting for December 4th. And as you know, that is the night when the governor, well, will be the governor at that time, but is the governor-elect now, is going to have a celebration in Wasilla. And I want to know what the council's wish is, whether you want to continue to have that meeting, or if you want to not have that meeting, or if you feel like we need to have the meeting, you want to have a different day that week, or what's the council's wishes. They have asked the mayors to speak, and so whatever you decide, I won't be here. But if I do miss a meeting, that's the only third meeting I missed in 8 years, so I don't feel guilty at all. Looking around the table, the people that have been here much less than that, I missed a lot more meetings than that. And also Job Corps is taking a whole group of students and things, and so I will be attending. Let's see who had their light first.
I totally beat her.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. Just kidding. Okay.
I think letting Mr. LaFrance try his wings out on running a meeting would be fine.
Okay. Councilwoman Linda Combs?
I think it's unfortunate. However, and I've given this a fair amount of thought since I heard about the conflict, I have to come down on the side of holding our meeting on December 4th. The decision that we made as a council a few weeks ago and in our schedule and the budget, and that's what's been presented to the public. And I think that we have a duty to continue with that. We have no wiggle room. Other municipalities are able to change their meeting times at this time of year because they're not like Palmer. They're not doing their budget. That particular evening, in my mind, is the only time we've had set aside, and we did it on purpose. We canceled last, and this is just so the public all knows what I'm talking about. We purposely canceled last week's meeting knowing that we had December 4th up to 2.5, 3-hour meeting to make budget amendment changes, to sit here and discuss the capital projects thing. And that's what we agreed on, and that's the sense of what we've sent out to the public. I do know, yeah, we can, you know, I mean, we can advertise and we can change it, but my personal thing would be, as much as I dislike the fact that there is a conflict, I have to come down on the side of going ahead and holding the meeting. And I'm very, very sorry that the conflict even occurred, but that's just the way I see it.
Okay. Any further comments? Okay. So we'll go ahead and continue to hold the meeting on December 4th. And then I guess I would like permission from the council to be excused.
Absolutely. Do you need a motion?
No, we didn't have one for David, so I guess we don't need.
Mayor DeVries, I'm going to have to say it's going to be extremely strange. I'm pretty sure this is the first time as the mayor that you've been not at a meeting. I know this for a fact because I was deputy mayor for a full year and never had my hands on the gavel. So, you know, I've said that publicly. I can say it again. And I got to tell you that we all appreciate that kind of sense of duty. Sometimes this is why we have a deputy mayor, and this is why it works this way. So thank you.
And we have another deputy mayor in the audience. He didn't get a chance of the gavel either. Alrighty. So I don't have anything else in my mayor's report. Anybody have any questions or comments? Okay. Alrighty. Is Mike online yet?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. So when he comes online, remind me to be sure and ask if he does have a report. Okay.
Yep.
Now, the next item on the agenda is audience participation. Anyone in the audience is welcome to testify and inform the council of anything that's on the agenda, or even if it's not on the agenda. 3 minutes if you're representing yourself, 5 minutes if you're representing a group. Audience participation is now open.
We don't have anyone signed up.
Okay.
Everything's signed up for a public hearing.
And then everybody signed up for the public hearing items. Okay, so.
The airport's not public hearing.
Yes, it is.
Is it?
Yep, item H4.
Sorry,
I'm mistaken. Mm-hmm, okay. Yeah, all sorts of things are public hearings. Okay, anyone in the audience? Okay, seeing no one, then I will close audience participation. And the next item on our agenda is ordinance number 18-007-0-2-SL, amending the zoning map to revise the zoning designation of tax parcel D8 located in Section 8, Township 17 North, Range 2 East, Seward Meridian to extend the I industrial zoning classification with special limitations. Does the council wish a staff report before I open the... Okay, sir, give us a report.
Madam Mayor.
Okay, yes, council, I can barely hear you, sir.
How about now?
All right, excellent. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, ma'am. I was advised by the clerk, city clerk, that I put a Facebook post out about this topic, asking for input, and because of the nature of the input, I didn't receive any except for yes or no, nothing really specific. But I got to ask, I guess, to recuse myself or ask if it's going to be a problem. Like I said, I was just looking for input on a topic that came up.
Yes, and I think the attorney has advised us since that time, Councilman Fuller, that this is not, we're not sitting in a judicial manner. We're only amending the zoning map, so there was no need for you, even no matter how much input you had gotten, there would be no need for you to step aside.
Cool beans. Thank you very much, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for bringing that to our attention. Now we'll have a staff report. Sir?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So the parcel that's being discussed tonight is on the zoning map. If you can see it, it's the gray with the star in the fairgrounds area. So that is, it's that parcel right there. So if approved tonight, this ordinance will amend the special limitations to extend that I classification with the star, which is the star indicates special limitations for that parcel, which is D8, located in Section 8, Township 17 North, Range 2 East, Seward Meridian, Alaska. It'll extend it for an additional 5 years. That parcel was zoned I with special limitations in February of 2004. It's been operating as currently as it has been for the last since 2004. That permit was, or that zone rezone, it's not a permit, that rezone was slated to expire on February 24th, 2024. Or correction, 2014. Mm-hmm. Then it was extended again to 2024. And then as the process of this request, there was also a CUP that came with it that's not before the council tonight. So the conditional use permit was handled at the planning and zoning level. Their recommendation for the rezone to extend this an additional 5 years is what's before it tonight. So it continues to operate as it has been, and it will, if this is approved, it will extend this to 2029. Not quite 5 years, because it's February 1st of 2029, as opposed to if it was a straight up 5 years, it would be January 28th. So it makes it an even date instead of 2 days left in January, it takes it to February 1st. Planning and zoning heard several comments on this, particularly on the CUP when the actual hearing came for the rezone. Now, a lot of comments were, well, there were no comments for the specifically for the rezone, because most of those comments were made during the conditional use permit portion. But some of those comments, you can see in the notes, were about this thing has gone on and on. Why does it need another 5 years? The economy had changed. That's why it was extended the first time. It wasn't filled up as fast as everyone hoped. Still is being filled, and it's meeting its requirements. But with the Glen Highway project, there was a expected demand for gravel, and that's what the CUP was for gravel. They also asked for an asphalt permit, and that was denied. But the gravel extraction for 2 years was granted on the CUP. If this is not approved tonight, the permit will continue to go through January 24th. Or January 28th of 2024, and the conditional use permit that they have will continue for that long. So this action tonight is only to extend the rezone that was done in 2004 and then renewed. This will extend it to 2029.
Okay. Questions from the council before we open the public hearing? All right. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and open the public hearing. We do have a sign-up sheet that people had signed up, and so I'll be calling those names, but anybody else, when we're done with those, we'll give everybody a chance to talk. So with that, I'm opening the public hearing on ordinance number 18-007-Z-2-SL.
Do you want to give the principal proponent first? The applicant.
Well, I'm just going to read off while they're here. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, so Bill, you're signed up first, please.
Thank you, ma'am.
Turn it. Yeah, there. Red means go,
yes,
here.
Yes. thank you, Madam Mayor and City Council members. My name is Bill Obie, and I'm a neighbor that lives right down Crowther Road from the pit, just about maybe an eighth of a mile. And I've been there since 1999. I was here at all the hearings in 2004, 2014, 2018. So So I feel like I have a pretty good handle on what's going on and have been a pretty good neighbor. And I think the Alaska Demo has also been a good neighbor. One of my big concerns has been that there was a lot of promises made in 2004 that this would be done in 10 years. That got extended, obviously, for another 10 years. Now we're looking for another five. So it's just a concern to me that, you know, we keep extending that period. That'll be 25 years. I started with a head of hair. I will have no hair left by the time 2029 comes, I'm sure, if I'm still around. So, you know, that's just one of my big concerns. On this last go-around, I really want to thank the Planning and Zoning Commission. The proposal was to, you know, to do, you know, to export more gravel out of that pit and to also add a short-term asphalt plant. I think the neighborhood, I mean, I know I'm really one of the only ones that gets notified in that neighborhood, or there's probably about six or seven people within the distance that the city has to inform. But the new subdivisions that are out there, I think we're very concerned about the fact that asphalt plant, I mean, I was also very concerned. So I'm glad that the zoning and planning and zoning heard that and took that out of that special use. I think the gravel extension, like I said, I was there when that was a pit, a very dangerous pit. A lot of teenagers used that. So I'm very glad it's being reclaimed. Again, I'm still concerned about the length. I don't know what the gravel extraction, if it's going to cause a lot of noise or not. I mean, I can hear the train, you know, where they take all the gravel out. And that's probably 2 miles from my house, and I can hear that. Every summer, that's pretty loud at times. So so that is a concern, you know, what the noise effect. But I do understand it'll help the Alaska Demo reclaim that pit faster. And so, you know, anything to get that pit reclaimed. And so I just wanted to, again, thank the Planning and Zoning for hearing the neighbors concerned about the asphalt and taking that out. Like I said, overall, Alaska Demo has been a very good neighbor. So I don't want to complain about them as a neighbor. I'm really just concerned about the time, you know, lapse from what the promises were made in both 2004 and 2014. Thanks very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And Terry, you're next.
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Terry Lawyer, and I'd like to thank everyone for letting me speak here tonight. I just want to address one thing. I went out and walked the pit tonight. I grew up in that neighborhood. I've been there since 1970. The initial intent of that permit has been fulfilled. I think we all forget that the initial pit was only this big. And now it encompasses this whole property coming down into the residential area. And we all seem to forget that because on all the drawings we see it's one big block now where it used to be sectioned off in three parcels, but now it's all together. But I would like the council, I would like the city of Palmer to address Clause A of the initial permit that says once it's reclaimed, they will stop the permit. What we are looking at now, and I took photographs, I have this one photograph taken off the borough wall that shows where the silos were since it's never really surveyed. And then I have pictures from tonight that shows that all this area here is fulfilled. So I think it's in our best interest to stop Alaska Demolition from going any further and have them reapply for a permit of areas that they have disturbed and they have made bigger by hauling out material throughout all these years to make their own pit, because they're not filling in the original pit. They're filling in a pit that they built themselves, that they made themselves. And if during that time, I also believe that we need to do a topo of the existing wall structure that is there holding in the gases that come out of that thing and verify that if they push in all those walls around the existing hole they have now before they start extracting more gravel out, which they already do, and I mean they have a screening plant down there, and if you live in that area, you hear the beep beep when the loads are full and the trucks take off and they haul in at night, so nobody monitors it. And I think the city of Palmer needs to stop, have them reevaluate, and actually set in inspection procedures if they are continuing to use this as a type of pit that they're using, and be responsible with the permit that they have issued to these people. I mean, they've been in there dumping anything they want with an annual inspection from ADC. And it's funny because on the day this gentleman was here last year, everything was great and wonderful. But during, you know, it's like putting a kid in a candy store and telling them, you know, no one's watching you, but don't put anything bad in that pit. And so I'm just asking, follow the clause of your initial permit. Go out and verify that the pit is full, because it is. I mean, I have documentation here to show it if you don't want to go out there. And make him reapply. And then set up guidelines and procedures and inspections. You're issuing a permit. You are responsible for inspecting it and monitoring it. And that includes air and water for everyone around there. And no, he's not a good neighbor, because his trucks run all night long. And they run at night during the summer and not during the day. So I don't know. I guess that's a safety thing. But anyway, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Terry. Okay, Steve, you're next. Steve?
Yes, ma'am. As the presenter for the company, will I be limited to what period of time?
5 minutes, then, since you're 5 minutes, since you're representing.
Okay, all right, thank you. Mayor DeVries, members of the council, my name is Steve Agnew, and I'm here tonight representing Alaska Demolition. With me is the owner of Alaska Demolition, Justin Green, and the manager of the Palmer Reclamation Site, Mr. Ken Van Trees, gentleman to the right of Justin. Mr. Green is requesting an additional 5 years to operate the reclamation site. No other changes are being requested in this matter before you tonight. However, any time extension to an existing zoning ordinance is a zoning amendment, so that requires this council's approval. Mr. Green and Mr. Van Trees have done a very good job operating the reclamation site. In your packet is a 2017 inspection report from the State of Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation, where they received 270 points out of a potential 270 points of inspection. So 100% favorable findings on all those points of inspection. Just recently, in last week, they got their 2018 inspection report. And it was not in your packet because it was only received last week. But I will share that with you. And it shows that in 2018, they also received 100%. So they are doing a very good job. Mr. Greed is in the process of moving his Alaska Demolition headquarters and operations to Palmer. The process will take about 1 year and is scheduled to be completed by next summer. Alaska Demolition has relocated a substantial building from the Glen Highway Project right-of-way and will be renovating that building. It's about 5,000 square feet, and it's a significant investment. I'll also share with you pictures of that building. Alaska Demolition simply needs the stability provided by the five-year extension to the project term to complete the reclamation process and make this additional investment. In October, the zoning amendment that you have before you was considered in depth by the Planning Commission. And that commission unanimously found on all of its findings in favor of the applicant, in favor of Alaska Demolition, that the amendment is in accordance with the comprehensive plan. The amendment is incompatible with the surrounding districts of zoning and land use, that no additional public facilities, infrastructure are required, that the conditions of the subject neighborhood support the amendment, and that the amendment is consistent with the public welfare and does not grant any special privilege. As we know, when this project started, it was supported by the Alaska State Fair. The Alaska State Fair still supports the project. Alaska State Fair is their neighbor on two sides, and they enjoy excellent relations. At the Planning Commission level, Alaska Demolition went the extra mile. It commissioned a very exhaustive report by two very highly qualified appraisers, Mr. Cohen and Mr. Jerry Smith, who looked and examined property in the area to determine if there had been any negative impact from the operations of the facility. That appraisal concluded, after 200 pages of data and analysis, that there was no negative impact on property values. In fact, the study found that large tracts of land suited to residential usage and subdivision had appreciated significantly and at a greater rate than other comparable property in the Matsu borough. The lengthy study completed by Mr. Cohn and Mr. Smith in real estate examination reached its conclusion that there was no impact. But you can do the same by driving out there. And what you see, or more accurately, what you don't see, demonstrates the lack of impact of this project, because the extensive landscape berms hide the project. You can't see it unless you drive onto the site. And the comment about trucks running at night and making noise is just not true, ma'am. They have an operating hour covenant that they keep. And so we respectfully urge you to affirm the unanimous findings of the Planning Commission and grant the applicant this amendment, which is a 5-year extension. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, Linda, you're up next. And since the light has gone off. Okay, so okay. There you go.
My name is Linda Cranny, and I've lived in Palmer about a year and a half now. And I love it here. I love your little town. I picked Palmer to live in once I moved from another state. This is the first time I've ever been to one of these, so you'll have to apologize if I seem nervous or don't know what I'm talking about. What I've heard so far about this, I'm happy with. I'm with her. Whatever it is, I'm with her. It's too close to residential. You've got your fair on one side, but that whole area around it is residential. Across the street and down the road, on an innerspringer, that's residential. That should stay quiet and a residential area. If it wants to be, it can be moved somewhere else. There are other places in this town, then it could be moved and actually be more viable. So that's all I have to say. I'm sorry if I stumble, if I'm nervous. That's why I've never done this before. So
I hope you listen to me.
Thank you. You did fine. Okay, and Ken, you're going to talk about the airport resolution, not about this, right? Okay, so then the other Ken Ventese. And the light went off, sir, so there you go.
Okay, thank you, Mayor, the members of the council. My name is Kenneth Antrese, and I've worked for Alaska Demolition for 12 years, and I've managed the site out here at the pit for the last 6 years, and I take, my job real seriously. People are concerned about things shouldn't be coming into the pit that shouldn't be allowed. But I inspect every load that comes in personally. I'm responsible for that. I do a monthly report that I put out each month for DEC. DEC, if they have any questions, they call me. We talk. And if any other people do, we talked about it, if there's any concerns. But the last 3 years, the pit has received 100%. You know, it's not just 2 years, but 3 years now. We've had 100% of the pit. And I think that says that we're doing a good job. You know, and we're trying to be a good neighbor. And I know DEC comes in and does their inspections. You know, that's something that we have to have. We need to be monitored. Everybody does. But have the pit surveyed every year, and the council gets a copy of the survey that's been done. This year, we added 70,000 yards of debris and material into the pit, which is quite a bit, which is good. And our hardest part of filling is the inert side, because of construction and it's the side that we have to protect the wells and all of the property next to us. It's the side that we can only put certain products in that side. And that's why that side is filling up less. And that's why it's taking longer to fill up. But it's an area that we're working on. We're putting clean material in there to make it safe for all the wells within our area. And it's just part of our job to make sure anything that comes in is what's supposed to be in our pit. We can't take hazardous materials. We can't take refrigerators, gasoline products, any of that type of stuff, batteries, nothing like that. We don't accept any of it. I've seen a couple of things come in. I've had the operator come right back in, load it up, get it out of there. We don't accept things that we can't, that aren't approved for our site. And
go ahead, finish your sentence.
Anyway, I just appreciate you guys listening to me, and I really feel that it'd be good for the company and for the community if we could finish what we're doing, so we can finish all of that in and complete the site.
Okay. All right.
Thanks.
Okay, Justin.
Hi, my name is Justin Green. I'm the owner of Alaska Demolition. Well, I guess we've been going on now for, I think, 15 years, correct? Has it been? I think about that. And there's no doubt, I know this hole's filling up, because trust me, because I got to think, as running a business, what are my kids, if I give my business to my kids, what are they going to do? How am I going to make sure they can keep going on? But at this moment right now, I'm wondering, okay, cause I know it's going to fill up. It's going to, and I have to think in the future, what am I going to do? So I'm talking about a future site type thing, because it will. It's going to. And I know right now the Mat-Su Borough passed an ordinance where they don't allow them, so we're grandfathered in. And the only reason why we were allowed to be grandfathered in is because of the DEC and our reputation that helped kept us going. And because of you guys and how well we've all worked together. I guess the five-year thing really is it gives us the ability to have a little certainty, because I know we've been kind of renewing it here and there, every other, I think it's every 4 or 5 years, but it just gives us the stability, because I'm moving Alaska Demolition here to Palmer. If I wouldn't have built the rugby field on the mountainside, I'd also move my house and my family here too, just so you guys know. But I'm kind of stuck there. The world expects me to perform for them there. But back to what's really, my bank would love to see another 5 years, because they're going to help me put some money into that building. And that's something that would help us out. There's some contracts that Alaska Demolition is going for that are, they're called IDIQs, and they last up to 7 to 8 years. And those contracts will help fill this pit in, and it's nice to know that, hey, I've got 5 years and I can bid on those type of projects. So that's kind of, you know, just for the business and for all my employees that are also here in the Valley. And that's another reason why I need to move to the Valley, because these guys are driving in to town all the time when they could be working out directly out of here. So that's really why we would love to have that. And, you know, it would also save a little time for the next time we have to come see you guys. You know, just kind of made some sense too. So, and the planning, and we just, and thank you for the planning board and for approving it and helping us with everything. And thank you guys for everything we've done in the last 15 years here together. And it's been great. And that's why I'm moving my company here. Right. Thank you. Is there any questions, by the way?
Not now, but maybe when we get into discussion, we may, when I bring it back to the council, we may have, some of the council members may have questions, but right now we're just taking input, sir.
And can I make one more comment about screening materials? Because I know there's some comments. That pit, to me, is one of the most important things to my company and my employees and my business. I would never want to jeopardize that pit by putting anything illegal in there. So I can assure you nothing goes in there. And there's a screening process. Whenever before we demolish a building, it is inspected for hazardous materials. It's the law. It's the EPA requires that. Then after that inspection occurs, we have to remove the materials that are on a list that are found in that building. After that, an operator demolishes that building, and he, with his own eyes, he sees everything that is coming through that excavator that's going into those trucks. Once it's in the trucks, and the truck drivers are tarping those. Their eyes are on that. And when it comes into the pit, Kenny's eyes are on it. I mean, it goes through about 5 to 6 sets of eyes before it gets in that pit, just so you guys know, okay? And running at night, we only operate the Palmer, we're restricted to your construct time, which is 6 to 10. We will never run after that, okay? Thanks, guys, and we don't. Okay. Sorry, do you want to answer her question?
No, okay. we wouldn't want to have intermediate between public and personal. Okay, is there anyone else that would like to testify on this, in this public hearing for this ordinance, that didn't sign up? Okay, so council have any objection to closing the public hearing? Okay, so a public hearing on ordinance 18-007-Z-2-SL. The public hearing has now been closed. What is the wishes of the council? And before I take the motion, let the be on the record that Councilman Fuller has joined us. Okay, so now what is the wishes of the council on the
ordinance? I move to adopt ordinance number 18-007-Z-2-SL.
Okay.
I second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we approve ordinance number 18-007-Z-2-SL. Discussion by the council.
Madam Mayor.
Yes. Go ahead.
The reason I'm moving for the adoption of this is the predominance of the materials that have been supplied to us. I want to first and foremost say this is a great example of why our advisory commissions are so important to us. They've done all their work, and it's obvious to me with everything that we've gotten from them that they did, not only did their work, but they did it extremely well. And then they passed this on to us with its recommendations, with their recommendations unanimously. I still looked into it. I'm probably one of the few people, if the only one, at this table that remembers 2004. I was in the audience, but, you know, I remember you guys coming here in 2004. There was someone else at the table with same name. So I have yet to be convinced, particularly when we are getting the reports that we are getting from the state of Alaska. If every single business we ever dealt with had a report card like the Department of Environmental Conservation, we'd really be in great shape. So I also want to say that I appreciate the remarks from the from the audience. Mr. Obie, thank you so much. I know you've been here several times. I've heard you, and I appreciate your down the middle of the road attitude about it and everything. Sometimes we're not 100% happy with a project that's going on, and yet we have to be fair and equitable about it. That's one reason why we're a city. I believe that's one reason why we live within city limits. So I hope that explains why I have moved to have this passed on, and I'd be interested in hearing any other council members' thoughts on that.
Other council questions, comments? Yes, Deputy Mayor.
All right. But yeah, Councilwoman Combs, I want to thank you for your comments, and I'm in agreement with your perspective as well. I think for us to come to a conclusion that runs contrary to the Planning and Zoning Commission, then we need some serious evidence that that would push us in that direction. And quite frankly, I'm not seeing that. And I do appreciate all the testimony that we've heard and the company coming forward. And I really do hope and expect that the words of the folks in charge of that pit were earnest, and that you're guarding carefully what does go into the ground of Palmer, because this is our home.
Okay. Another, yes, Councilman Fuller.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I don't doubt that this company is doing their due diligence, and they're on the up and up. I have no question in my mind. I think the biggest problem I think I would have with this is, you know, 2026 or whatever we're looking at down the road, we got a gravel pit in Palmer. You know, we surrounded on the fairgrounds and neighborhoods. Is that what we want for Palmer in, you know, the mid-2020s? You know, I'm kind of conflicted because I see the great things about it, but is the hole ever going to get filled? You know, I mean, that's the big deal that I think we need to ask ourselves is down the road, do we want to still see a hole when we get another renewal that says, oh, yeah, we want to pull a little more gravel out to put a little more gravel back in, you know, and then do this again in 2030. So I don't know. Like I said, it's really a difficult decision, but I don't doubt it in my mind that the company is on the up and up and doing their due diligence in maintaining, you know, the standards. It's just, what do we want to see in Palmer in that time frame?
Were there comments or questions by, yes, Councilman Carrington?
I don't know if I want to admit that I was there the same time as Councilwoman Combs, but my understanding of this is it's a compromise where we're, you know, agreeing and allowing a business to come in and do business, but do it in a certain way, but also to get our end result of we want this filled. And it's a compromise, and I think it's, you know, it's working, and I guess I don't see a problem with going forward on this.
Other councilwoman's questions, comments? Councilwoman Sabrina Combs?
I am in agreement with my fellow councilman here. I don't want to see this again in 5 years. I don't want to see it extended every 5 years, another 5 years, another 5 years. And I would just hope that Alaska Demo would stick to a promise of filling it as quickly as possible.
Further comments from the council? Okay.
All of those in favor of the motion to approve ordinance number 18-007-Z-2-SL, please say yes.
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 Those opposed say no. The yeses have it, and ordinance number 18-007-Z-2-SL has been approved. The next item on our agenda is resolution 18-025, authorizing the city manager to negotiate a real property exchange agreement with the Matsu Borough for the City of Palmer release of ADL lease 229118, referred to as France Road property, transferred title to the City of Palmer tax parcels 18 North 2 East, Section 34, Parcel B5, and 18 North 2 East, Section 34, B, Parcel B6, and authorizing the mayor to execute the agreement. Does the council wish to have a staff report before we go into a public hearing? Councilman Combs, did you? Councilwoman Combs.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Councilman Burbrick.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just want to, I don't know if this has any bearing on this at all, but I did want to disclose that I do own a piece of property that butts right up to the France Road property.
To France Road?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you think that this, whether this is passed or not passed, is going to have an effect upon your valuation of the property?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay. So, council have any? Okay. Ready? Do you need a staff report before open the public hearing? Okay, we need a staff report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So there's some history to both of these properties. The and I'll discuss the history with the France Road property first. So that property was leased by the city from the state with the anticipation of putting in its own landfill. And from the time that that lease between the state and the city was done, the property was transferred from the state to the borough. So the borough owns it, but they're required to honor that lease. The city has done zero with that property. There's some discussion on how the Pathways School got put on that property, even though it was under lease to the city, but the borough built the school there anyway. The monetary value of that lease is estimated to be about $8,000 if we were to do something with fair market value. However, that lease does expire in 2026, so there's only a few years left on that lease. We've kind of held off on that for lots of reasons, on just negating that lease. The borough's intent with their master plan for the landfill, as the landfill expands, they were trying to move the trailhead for the Crevice Moraine Trail System onto that property, but because the city still had the lease, they weren't able to do that. Plus, they didn't have the funding to do their landfill growth. But that is still their intent, is to grow the landfill and then move the trailhead onto this property. So that's what they're looking to do with that property. Now, the other parcel, the two parcels that are listed, we've called them the Copperoo properties. They're at the entrance to the city just after the bridge, and they encompass property on both sides of the highway. And there's a parcel map in the packet on page 277. So the blue on 277 is really one parcel with a road going through it, and then the next parcel over is the second parcel. So if you look at the map, it looks like three, but it's really two. It's one big one with a road going through it. The city looked at purchasing this property when I first got here, but we didn't have the funds. We thought we were going to be able to grant funds to the Land Conservation Water Fund. They only offered $86,000, and the property was offered for sale at $250,000. So we chose to pass at that time. However, when the borough got their parks bond passed, one of the trails for the Palmer side of that package cuts. The intent was to cut through that property. What they've done is they've actually gone along the river and put a trail on the northern part of the property, and they haven't really touched the southern piece. But I offered to them that if they bought this, the city would take it on if the council approved, if they would, since we have park powers and we could use that as a recreational type property, but also gives us access as a gateway, which we've never had on that end, to put a potential future sign that says "Welcome to Palmer." There's a huge rock outcropping that would be ideal to do that. So this is kind of making a full circle on the city's attempt to gain control of that property. The city, the borough, is offering to give us the property with a deed restriction that it remains recreational use in exchange that we cancel that, basically cancel the lease on the France Road property early and allow them to move forward. So that's kind of where we stand with this. There's no funding involved at this point. However, because it's semi-usable now, there's a potential for a parking lot. So as we move forward in capital discussions or funding pieces, this, if we do this exchange, it gives us a recreational parcel that we can develop into some type of park. It doesn't lend itself to a neighborhood park because there's no neighborhood, but a community level or even a recreational, something to coincide with the campground, maybe it's river access. We don't have any river access points in Palmer. We have probably the longest stretch of riverfront property of any city in the borough. That would allow us to capitalize on that piece of being a gateway. So my recommendation is that the council approve this and then look to do something with it as we had to have capital discussions.
Okay. Alrighty, so with that, I will open the public hearing on Resolution 18-0025. Public hearing is now open. I don't have anybody signed up to testify, so anybody would like to come forth?
Good evening. Good Richard evening. Best. I live in Brittany Estates in Palmer. And prior to the last election, I had the fortune to walk this piece of property down with the city manager. And I cannot tell you how excited I am for the city to have access to this piece of property. I think the opportunities for outdoor recreation is going to be wonderful. I think there's going to be opportunities to partner with other entities to help facilitate kind of more of a homegrown kind of project. And I'm very interested to see what's going to come out before you guys, if you do vote to make this land swap. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, sir. Anyone else that would like to testify regarding this resolution? Okay, seeing no one, does council have any objections to me closing the public hearing? So the public hearing on Resolution 18-025 has been closed. What is the wishes of the council?
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve Resolution 18-025. Questions, amendments, comments by the council? Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. A couple questions for Nate. First off, I love it, predictably. Do you have any idea of the timeline of the Mat-Su Borough moving the Crevasse Moraine Trailhead to the new property? That's question number one. Number two, it butts up against City of Palmer property, if I'm not mistaken. It's currently owned by the borough. Is there any advantage to pushing towards annexation of this property if there is a trailhead there so that we have a trailhead access to world-class grass marine trails in Palmer? I guess those are my only two questions. I could keep going. So the first question is, I don't know that they have a specific timeline, although that is tied to the recreational bond, I believe, had that in there. But I don't know what the timeline is. That's the first part. The second part is the annexation. Depending on the times in the borough and the landfill, I don't know. I've never had that conversation with them because that would probably entail bringing the landfill into the city limits as well. So that would – so that's just part – I've never asked that question, and I can ask that next time I'm there.
Couldn't it be – well, I mean, there might be advantages to having a landfill in the city limits. I don't know. I can't speak to that. But thinking about even just this particular parcel, I mean, I would think certainly if we're – as we're trying to rebrand and refocus ourselves into be a recreation destination for South Central – It would seem to me that having a trailhead actually in city limits and pulling it closer to us and away from the landfill would be advantageous.
Madam Mayor, I agree. I think that the borough would be amenable to handing that over because they are less likely to want to maintain their recreational facilities and anything they can kind of sort of hand off to the cities that they've not been so reluctant to do that lately. We've kind of been the ones that are not welcoming the Mat River Park because there's some costs associated with that. But I think once they develop that, that's a conversation they'd be willing to have, and I'll start those conversations just to see what the feel is. But I don't know that we want to get it until it's built.
Okay. Further discussion, questions, amendments to the motion? Okay, all of those in favor of resolution 18-025, please say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Those opposed say no. The yeses have it, and resolution number 18-025 has been adopted. The next item is a public hearing on resolution 18-026, appropriating $70,000 for the purchase of Lot 18, Block 1 in Hidden Ranch Subdivision, Phase 4, to be used for future city park, authorizing the city manager to negotiate a purchase and sale agreement with Spinell Homes for the purchase of Lot 18, Block 1, not to exceed $70,000, and authorizing the mayor to execute the purchase and sale agreement. Does anybody need a staff report before we open the public hearing? No? Okay. So the public hearing on resolution 18-026 is now open. Anyone that would like to come and testify regarding this resolution is welcome to.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and Council. Here is your opportunity to have your trailhead that ties into the crevice moraine system. Because this is a piece of property that is directly adjacent to the Milky Power Line Trail that then ties into the crevice moraine trail system. This is a piece of property and a project that has been talked about for a little bit, and I'm very excited to see Council bring this before you so that you can make your decision on whether to purchase it, and then later, through the Parks and Rec Board and partnering with other groups, have discussions about how to best utilize it. So very excited again about another park opportunity in Palmer.
Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to address the council on resolution 18-026? Okay, does council have any objections to closing the public hearing? With that, I'll close the public hearing on resolution 18-026, and what is the wishes of the council?
Madam Mayor, I move for the council to pass and accept resolution number 18-026.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we approve resolution 18-026. Council comments, amendments, discussion? Councilwoman Combs?
Thank you. I, too, am excited about this, having family history of attempting to create parks and maintain parks within the city of Palmer that goes way back. And it's all with the understanding that one of the reasons, as we mentioned earlier, we all like Palmer, well, is because we have a quality of life here. And I think this council and the previous councils of the last couple decades have supported that, and I'll always support such actions.
Further discussion, comments, amendments by the council? Okay, all those in favor of approving resolution 18-026, please say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Those opposed say no. Okay, resolution 18-026 has been approved.
No.
The next item is resolution 18-027, naming the Warren Bud Woods Palmer Municipal Airport helicopter operation area the John S. Lee helipad. Does the council need a staff report before I open the public hearing? Okay, so with that, I will open the public hearing on resolution 18-027. Public hearing is now open, and Ken, I think you signed up to speak.
You turned it off, Ken.
Thank you. Honorable Mayor and members of the City Council, my name is Ken Moore. I'm chair of the Airport Advisory Commission, and I'm here to speak in favor of resolution number 18-027 and Airport Advisory Commission resolution 180-01 for approval in naming the newly constructed helicopter operations area the John Lee Helipad. Now, my appearance this evening is in addition to our resolution that has been submitted to you, and it's to demonstrate the overwhelming support of this resolution in the naming of the helipad after John Lee. John Lee's name is a well-known and respected in the Palmer community. It's synonymous with a successful business. his decades of community involvement, his passion for aviation, aviation education, and the advancement of core values within the aviation industry. Decades of selfless service through countless hours spent on various boards and commissions in the city of Palmer, he's brought to those bodies wisdom, wise counsel, integrity, and a gentleman's kindness that have ultimately made this a better place in which to work and live. John most recently served as chair of the Airport Advisory Commission and brought a wealth of knowledge, dignity, and respect to that position. And it's an ideal that we appreciated by all those who served with him, including myself. His love of aviation is easily recognized through his support of over four decades of countless functions held at his business, including the annual FAA Pancake Breakfast, giving the nonprofit Medallion Foundation Simulator a permanent home, free of charge, I might add, and to encourage continued education and skill-building platforms to licensed pilots, students, and future pilots. A proficient fixed-wing and helicopter pilot himself, John started his aviation career as an instructor right here at the Palmer Airport years ago. His love for instructing and educating today's youth to become future pilots continued by hosting youth aviation events, which are still talked about in the community. John is one of the most humble and unassuming individuals I have ever had the pleasure of knowing. His capacity to give selflessly of himself and expect nothing in return is an attribute I find most refreshing. It's these attributes of selfless contribution to aviation and the community at large that brings me to you this evening to speak on behalf of Mr. Lee. It's my sincerest hope that you'll pass the resolution before you tonight in a unanimous concurrence to honor a pillar in our community who so rightly and richly deserves this recognition. Thank you for the opportunity to address this august body. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in the audience that would like to testify on resolution 18-027?
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
I do want to note that under public testimony, I do have written testimony received from the public that was handed out to you just now and will be entered into the record.
Okay, thank you. Anything else? Okay. Does the council have any objections to closing the public hearing? Okay, so with that, I will close the public hearing on resolution 18-027. What's the wishes of the council?
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve resolution 18-027. Discussion, amendments, comments by the council. Councilman Carrington.
Madam Mayor, just for the record, I want to say I perused the written material handed to us, and all of it is affirming that this should happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Councilwoman Linda Combs.
Yeah. I would ask that Ken make sure we have a copy of what he just read to us. It was totally awesome, Ken, and I think it should be forwarded on to Mr. Lee with the compliments of the commission as well as this council. Thank you.
Okay. Other comments, questions? Linda, do you have something further?
No.
Okay. Alrighty. So the motion before you is to approve resolution 18-027. All those in favor, please say yes.
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 Those opposed, say no. Okay. The next item on our agenda is action memorandum. Is everybody okay? Does anybody need to take a break or anything? We're ready to proceed on? Oh, okay. We will go ahead and take a 10-minute recess. At the table, please. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is action memorandum and if the council so wishes, we probably can do action memorandum 18-089, action memorandum 18-090, and action memorandum number 18-091 is one motion.
So moved.
Okay.
Well, wait, there's no such thing as a so moved, Linda.
Oh, well, okay. I move. that we put together, Action Memorandum Number 18-089, Action Memorandum Number 18-090, and Action Memorandum Number 18-091 for the council's consideration.
Is there a second?
I will second.
Okay. So it's been moved and seconded. It's been moved and seconded that we approve Action Memorandum 18-089, 18-090, and 18-091. Discussion, amendments, questions by the council? Yes.
I just need to disclose that I work for Matanuska Electric Association, but this would not impact me at all.
You don't work in one of those little buildings, and we might not want you to go to work?
I thankfully do not work in one of the ATCOs, but I stare at them out my window. Okay.
Any discussion, more discussion, amendments, or anything by the council? Okay. All those in favor of approving those three action memorandums, say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Those opposed, say no. Okay. The next item on our agenda is Action Memorandum Number 18-092, approving a city or a council community grant in the amount of $1,500 to the Neighborhood Champions managed by Palmer Chamber of Commerce to provide promotional material and support to Small Business Saturday 2018. What's the wishes of the council?
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve Action Memorandum 18-092. Discussion, amendments? Yes, Sabrina?
I know that this already happened, but it was an amazing day in Palmer on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And this group that worked on Small Business Saturday this year really stepped up, and Jeanette Gardner had started that project in Palmer, and this group took over from her this year and just really did some amazing things, and I've never seen Palmer so busy.
Further questions or comments by the council? Okay. All of those in favor of Action Memorandum 18-092, please say yes.
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 Those
yes.
opposed, say no. Action Memorandum 18-092 has been approved. Record of items placed on the table. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We have the Raven Air Group presentation, public testimony handouts for Ordinance 18-007-Z-2-SL, and public written testimony for Resolution 18-027.
Okay. We'll open up for audience participation. Anybody in the audience can come forth and address the council on any item, whether it's on the agenda or not. 3 minutes if you're representing yourself, 5 minutes if you're representing a group. Audience participation is now open. Seeing no one, I will close audience participation and we'll have council comments. And Councilwoman Sabrina Combs, I guess we'll start with you. I keep forgetting how we do. I don't mean to pick on anybody all the time, but I can't. I need to write it
no
down.
Worries.
Which
you can
side
switch
we
it up.
Start,
switch
and so nobody
up.
Feels that I'm making them go first or last.
It keeps us on our toes. I'll start with talking about AML. It was a really great conference. I was elected to the AML Board of Directors, and we had our first meeting talking about budget. So I'm really excited to learn more and serve on that board. And I just want to say thank you to Norma for all of her coordination for the conference. I know that we are a handful, so thank you. Props to Public Works. Palmer looks absolutely beautiful, even without snow. I'm excited for Colony Christmas. I will be calling in next week from Florida, but I will be here. And I just wanted to say thanks to everyone that's not here anymore for testifying today.
Okay. Councilman Fuller.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just caveat Small Business Saturday. I was working down at the depot. My wife was working over at the main business. Excuse me. And it was absolutely incredible. Totally blew us both away, first year in business and whatnot. Thanks to the Palmer Dispatch, had some issues with the door locking over there, and ended up the first night having to park our truck against the door to keep it secure. The next night they took care of it, so we were kind of off the hook. But just a really nice, really great. They were really, really lenient working with us. Kind of interesting. But other than that, great weekend, and hope to see what happens the next couple weekends going into the holidays.
Okay, Councilwoman Linda Combs.
I'd like to say that AML was good as always. I've always found AML to be extremely useful, networking, getting to know, I think I described this to a couple of council members while we were there. If nothing else, you get to meet and then get to know. Ask questions about how municipal government is held or how they do it in other places in Alaska. And it's really helpful and very interesting. So it's always great, though, when multiple members of the council attend. We were able to scatter ourselves around, participate in different workshops, and bring that knowledge back. I found that it was very unfortunate that it was a poorly attended workshop, but what I thought was one of the more important ones, after sales tax, of course, was the census workshop. Having worked somewhat diligently in regards to the 2010 census, I learned a tremendous amount about how much that means to our municipalities. One of the things I'll be passing on to the mayor and to the city manager is one of the women that was presenting there is from the Juneau area, and she does municipality presentations in regards to census. And I am going to suggest that we attempt to have her come to our area and do a joint meeting and make that presentation to the borough and the three cities in particular. It's it just cannot be stressed enough how important a complete and thorough census is. And there are changes, big time changes, for the 2020 census. And it may seem like we got a long time. We don't have a long time, folks. So in addition to that, it was always great to hear from Raven Air. That's the third time I've heard their presentation. I believe that they're great neighbors. I really appreciate the fact that I've seen one of the times I've seen that presentation has been at the Chamber of Commerce, because they're letting our community know what they're doing here. So last but not least, this Thursday at the Matsu Coalition on Aging, my name has been proposed for a seat on that. So put it in perspective, I sit on the board of directors for the Matsu Senior Center, so that's Palmer seniors. This will be borough-wide senior issues, which then dovetails in with my seat on the commission for the state. I go to the meetings anyway, so they've asked me to fill one of the seats, even though they did have to change a couple of items in their charter in order to have an elected official sit in one of their seats. So, but that'll be towards the end of this week. And then I believe I will have the senior issues covered, if nothing else. So, again, thank you to everyone who did attend, whether it was for a short time or a longer period of time, to the AML. I think all of us working together, it was a really good team effort. Thank you.
Okay. Councilwoman Burberry.
I would like to say thanks for my ability to attend the AML as well. I got to go to the newly elected official training for the first 2 days. Learned a lot, but I have to give props to Norma here, because she did teach me a lot in the day that we spent together here. I also want to thank the council as well for support of the Small Business Saturday. It was definitely a great day in Palmer, and it's still ongoing with what the Chamber of Commerce is doing. And if you don't know about this, the $1,000 Visa gift card giveaway, for every $10 that you spend in downtown Palmer, it's been pretty exciting and fun. So thanks for the support for that.
Mm-hmm. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. All this talk of gravel pits in Palmer and et cetera has got me thinking about the possibility of an excise tax for mining activities in Palmer. So if I can get a second on this, I would love to request that. Thanks. The city manager to have a look at what that would look like for us and what options that we would have. Because as these companies or individuals, businesses, change the character of our town, it seems peculiar that there isn't any sort of tax on that. Secondly, we're a ski town. Whether we like it or not, there's a ski movie at the depot on Thursday in support of the Hatcher Pass Alpine Experience, and I think it's important that we grab these groups and these activities, and that Palmer claims them. in our rebranding. So I'll certainly be there, and I hope many members of the community come out and support that.
Okay. Yes, Councilperson Carrington?
I also enjoyed AML and particularly enjoyed seeing how many people we can get around one of those small tables at Fletcher's and get to know each other better. And I was commenting to the deputy mayor, going, this looks familiar, but great use of recycling.
The only regarding AML, I attended the mayor's meeting, and we did form a, and I don't know what your presentation was on the online sales tax, but we did have a presentation, and the mayor's group did form a working group. And and maybe you heard this, the same thing that that Niles presented to us, because he asked us if we knew what the difference was between the Twix candy bar and the Snickers. Did he ask you guys that question on the what's called? And he said that one is a candy bar and the other is a cookie. And so when they are looking at conforming to the Supreme Court decision, that they have to decide these definitions about, okay, you know, do some people take and tax candy, but others don't maybe tax food. So and the cookies would be into a food line. And so he said those definitions need to be defined as well as, you know, would the state collect the sales tax? The one part about the Supreme Court ruling was that it was not to be burdensome upon the collection agency. So like, say, Amazon or, you know, Best Buy or somebody like that that would be selling online and people would be ordering. We can't make it burdensome upon them. And so there's, so Niles said probably within a year and a half, they will have something that the municipalities will be able to adopt uniformly throughout the state of Alaska. And so it gets a lot more detailed rather than just sending to Amazon, okay, you're doing business in the city of Palmer, as well as, you know, detailed maps. So, you know, if somebody lives in the Springer system, they're not paying the sales tax. And so, why not, right? And so, anyway, it was, we had a very long presentation. And, of course, so many of the mayors that were there do have sales tax. Kenai was there, of course, in Juneau and Fairbanks. And so, almost everybody except Anchorage, you know, has sales tax. So anyway, so it'll be interesting. I'll keep you apprised of as we move forward. But I think it is something we need to probably have on our radar screen regarding as soon as they do decide how it's going to be implemented, that we do, because to me it's a fairness issue to our brick and mortar that's downtown. And so I'll be filling you in on all of that. So, okay. And so with that, I will adjourn the meeting.